We've talked about how this pandemic has changed the game for a lot of people, but let's talk about the sex party. Today's guest is Fatima Meshtab from planningismypassion.com. She is adapting with the new world and hosting virtual sex parties now. And, you know, we're going to find out what is the future of the sex party after a pandemic.
The Quick and the Dirty Podcast with Hillary Welch and Sandra Plagakis.
Welcome, Fatima.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for being a part of the podcast. This is so much fun, mostly because there's nothing I'm more curious about than what goes down at a sex party.
Same.
I think we're all very curious. And that's what makes them so great.
So tell us, okay, what is a virtual sex party look like?
Okay, so I did my first virtual sex party April 22nd, so about a month into the pandemic. So the way that I have designed events in the past, I was the event producer and marketing director for Oasis Aqua Lounge. So I had designed my virtual parties similar to how I used to produce parties for that particular club. So I like to include a few different elements. I included a educational element. I've worked with many different sex educators, and presenters and people in that field. So I really love to include like an educational element, performances, because there's lots of wonderful, sexy, burlesque, gender, boylesque performers out there. And then I like to include what I like to call erotic exhibitionism. So that's where I would have a couple perform acts online for people to view. And I've also used, aside from the Z word, I've also used another platform as well, too, that actually was on a private server. So it wasn't like a public platform the way that that Zoom is. And that allowed for a lot more privacy, no censorship, and it also made other people who were watching feel comfortable to play on camera if they wanted to. So none of the parties ever like required that people actually play or have sex on cam. It was more like you can watch this activity if you want. You can engage however you like. You can dance in front of your camera. You can do whatever you want with yourself and or your partner. So I really kind of like to keep the options open to accommodate where everybody's feeling like in their comfort level.
So I guess that's kind of like a live sex party, because isn't it normally like you can just watch or you can participate?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like, yeah, that's exactly the way that I've approached it. And I mean, any party that I've ever been to myself, and I've been to like a lot of them, different parts of the world, that's always the case. You know, people can participate at their own comfort level, as it should be. You know, everybody should be participating based on what they feel comfortable consenting to.
If I had to go to an online sex party, I would just be a total voyeur. Like, let's be honest. I would be so nervous about having a camera on me, angles, lighting. Is that flattering? Is this flattering? There's something, I guess, probably if I was in a live situation in an actual club, it would be different, right? Because I'd probably be plied full of alcohol and brave.
I think it might be darker, too. You
Much
know,
darker.
You can, like, kind of hide in the shadows.
Yes.
If you wanted to. Well, the thing that I've been finding really interesting about online parties in general is that it's been such a new frontier for so many of us. And there's always sort of been this element of like keeping things a bit unpolished, mainly because for so many of us, like these platforms, Zoom and other ones out there, are not something that we typically use a lot of necessarily, like depending on the type of work that you did. And then as soon as the pandemic hit, people were like, okay, well, where do we go for entertainment? Where do we go as producers? What can we use to keep our community engaged? And what are the tools that we can utilize in the face of a pandemic? So what I found is that there was a lot of kind of like people weren't really sure what to do on camera. Maybe the angles were off. Maybe the broadcast wasn't as clear. But I don't know. It kind of added to the charm of everything. And it was sort of nice to for all of us to be using these platforms and kind of sort of be winging it a little bit. I think it just really added to the authenticity of the experience for both like the performers and also for the voyeurs and the participants.
Yeah, that makes total sense, because when you think about it, if you wanted to watch perfection, you'd just watch porn.
Right.
And like if you're looking to participate in something, it's sex in real life is awkward. Let's be honest. So if it's online, I would imagine like you're just kind of expecting it to be the same.
Yeah, and it was just really like awkward, but also like natural and like genuine. And like that's, I think, something always so nice to see. And even some of the porn out there too. I mean, yeah, there's definitely like the polished professional performative type of porn. But then there's also amateur porn, and there's stuff that people just shoot, you know, between themselves or between partners. And like that's the stuff that I think is really hot. Just like the natural kind of like, yeah. I guess you could say awkward. I get, you know, there's probably other words too. But I just really liked, I guess, the authenticity and the genuineness of like a real connection. Like, I think that that's really hot to see.
Obviously. But it's challenging though to develop those connections online, and it's not the same as being in a room with somebody. So obviously you're pivoting and you're doing your best, but I'm just curious now. So if this is live, do you save it to watch later? Like if I watched it, could I keep a copy of it for, you know, my spank bank later?
Oh, I actually never did that. Yeah, you can, like, there's some platforms that allow recording of shows, but I actually never did that. Because the way that I kind of envisioned it, I wanted it to be similar to how I produce events for clubs, which is, like, you go into this experience and then you leave and you don't have any recording of that experience except within your head. I also wanted people to feel safe and comfortable. I know that some of the performers wanted to record their portion of their performance, like if it was a burlesque performance or whatever the case was. But I preferred to stay away from that just because I didn't want people to feel uncomfortable, right? Because even if you're just watching, there's always kind of this fear of like, oh, you know, if this show is recorded, will somebody see my face? That's always sort of been the concern for a lot of people when it comes to like video or recording of any kind. So I personally didn't do that, but I'm sure that you could if that's what you wanted to do.
It's funny because now we live in a world where if you wear a mask, it's cool, right?
Yeah, I guess. I hate wearing the mask. I do wear them. Yeah. I follow the rules, but man, I mean, I like masks. Like sexy masks, like masquerade masks, or like, I don't know, a steampunk mask or something. But I don't know, if I want my face and nose covered, I'll just use someone's hand as opposed to a surgical mask. So,
yeah.
So how are you finding people's buy-in for these online parties? Like, is there a huge appetite for them?
So that's a great question. I actually have done 4 events from April until my last event was just at the mid-July. I did 1 in April, 2 in May, and then 1 in mid-July. I found that at first it was really exciting. People wanted something to do. They were bored in their houses. The weather wasn't that great, I mean, at least in Toronto. And so there was definitely more of a demand. And then the event that I did on May 31st called Virtual Seduction, I used, like I said, a private platform that was on a special server, and my pitch for that was like, this isn't a Zoom party. Like, that was sort of my tagline, so that people kind of understood that they would have carte blanche to do whatever they wanted on camera, and that there would not be any censorship. So that event sold really well. Didn't sell out, but it sold really well. But the last event that I did in July, the ticket sales were really slow. Like, I was nervous. And I think, like, my reasoning for that is that at that time in Toronto, you know, patios are open. It's beautiful. We've had a beautiful summer. People want to be outside. People want to be on a patio. They want to be in a park. And nobody wants to be on a computer longer than they need to be at this point, especially at night. So I found that the July event, it was still fun. I still had a nice crowd. And I mean, everybody was so wonderful to work with, but I didn't find the demand as high. And I've taken a step back from producing any more online events, at least until the end of the fall, because in August, people tend to go away. I mean, obviously we're limited in how we can travel, but like, I'm thinking that right now, because it's beautiful outside and we don't know what's really going to happen in the next coming months, like people are taking advantage of that and not wanting to be on their laptops.
Yeah,
and
totally.
Even though you could use your phone and download some of these platforms, the experience is really better in front of a laptop. And that's kind of where we've been existing, to socialize, entertainment, work, pretty much anything right now, exercise, yoga classes. Like, we're on our laptops or our phones all the time if you want to connect in any kind of social way. And so, yeah, I found that the interest was a little less. That was kind of interesting to see. And I also kind of feel like it's a good alternative for what we've had to deal with so far. But I don't know if the trend is going to stay. I just don't know. It's hard to say. Like, it definitely is kind of new territory. I've spoken to some performers, too, that are used to having a stage and used to having an audience applause and just the audience energy in front of them. And it's a lot different to, like, perform by yourself in your living room completely alone.
Yeah, it's like being on the radio. Exactly like being on the radio. You have no gauge as to what the audience is thinking. You just gotta plow through. Speaking of plowing, Fatima, themes. Can we talk about themes? Like, I know that you have different themes for different sex parties. What are the really hot sex party themes right now?
Well, like, anything masquerade has always been really hot. Eyes Wide Shut is always popular. Like, anything to do with, like, unicorns, threesomes.
Unicorns? Pardon me, we need to go back to that. What? Like, what about unicorns?
Not so much the animal. Sorry, I should say, like, I should reference, like, unicorn as in lifestyle. I mean, the animal, yeah, but, like, more so, like, if you were a male-female couple and you're looking for a third female playmate, that particular woman is called a unicorn. So she's a woman that plays with both men and women. And she's considered a mythical creature because couples are always trying to find, or well, I should say most couples, depending on your sexual orientation. A lot of couples are looking for a third female playmate, but finding that third woman is always kind of a challenge, and that's why it's called unicorn. But I found, like, in person, on-premise sex clubs, anything to do with, like, the possibility of finding a third woman, aka the unicorn, has always been popular. Glow parties are always really great, glow-in-the-dark parties. Anything to do with body decor, body painting. I actually do body art as well, too. So I do some body tape designs. I do rhinestone body art.
Just to interrupt for a second, Fatima, what glows in the dark exactly?
What glows in the dark?
Asking for a friend.
Whatever you want to paint.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Probably my knees or something.
I just, like, paint a better body on myself.
I know, me too. I would put my tits higher.
Or you could add a third one if you wanted, maybe. I don't know. I could paint on a strap-on.
Yeah. Like that. That's what I do. Like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
My ass would be tight.
You know what's really, a really interesting theme within the sex positive community is, like, cosplay. That's a really good theme. I find, like, comic book superhero, you know, archetypes are quite popular within the sex positive community as well. I'm not really into cosplay myself, but I definitely know that there's crossover with the cosplay community and the sex positive community. Geek culture and sex positivity seem to pair really well together.
It's always the ones you don't expect, right? That are, like, wild in the sack.
Yeah. Well, I also think that, like, cosplay and that whole culture is also a lot more inclusive as far as, like, different body types, looks, hair color, gender identities and stuff. And I think it just speaks to a wider range of people. And it also, I think, encourages, I wouldn't say a healthy form of sexuality. Yeah, I would say a healthy form and also just a little bit more varied and interesting if you compare it to what you typically see in mainstream culture. I mean, let's face it, in mainstream culture, like, if you don't look a certain way or you're not a certain age or you're not a certain race, like, you're just not having sex because you're not seen, you know, you're not seen in mainstream culture like that. So I think, like, these different, like, subcultures really speak to those who just don't feel seen in mainstream culture.
What is the future of sex parties going to look like?
Oh, man, that is a good question. So as you know, like, I was the event producer, marketing director for Oasis Aqua Lounge, and I know that the venue is, we're looking to open up again. There's a lot of planning and processes that have to go into that. And one of the things that club is talking about, and probably other clubs as well, is the distancing factor with sex parties. So
somewhat challenging.
So, I mean, it wouldn't necessarily like the way that we have seen or I've seen sex parties happen. Like, I don't think that that's going to be happening for quite some time. I would probably give it a couple of years, but I think the progression is to start maybe with social bubbles. So say like you have a group of, I don't know, there's six of you and you're all coupled off and odd numbers are great, but like, or even numbers are great, but like, so you and like your close knit group of play partners would be your own sort of party. And then maybe further away from you across the room, there might be another small group of six. So it's not the typical kind of like maybe orgy style where people are commingling. It may start out where like it's just you and your friends and you're sharing space with another group, but maybe the groups aren't intermingling, if that makes sense.
Right.
Like, I think there's going to be a lot of like interesting logistics to factor in. And there's also like the psychological barrier as well too, because people are like, you know, people are just kind of, some people are really freaked out about the idea of going to sex parties right now. Like, as much as like we are titillated and curious and interested and like about sexuality, there's also that mental barrier that like we're still in a pandemic, you know, things are getting better, but you know, the idea of even like people even leaving their house, like that can kind of trigger some people. So the idea of like going to an actual sex party with bodies and spit and sweat, and like, I think that's going to blow a couple people's minds. I don't know, like, if we're quite there yet.
For sure. But I feel like there'll be a lot of voyeurism and a lot of glory holes.
Yeah. Well, glory hole is like, yeah, it's coming into light, into the mainstream, I guess you could say. Yeah, because but I mean, you know, that's also a very limited way to engage in sexual activity. Like, not everybody can participate in a glory hole, right? Like, what am I going to do? I mean, other than like the giving end, but like, you know, so I mean, like, a glory hole is an interesting idea, but I don't think it's like necessarily inclusive to all bodies.
Well,
right?
No, of course not, unless you're willing to work with a strap on.
True, but then if you can't see the person on the other side, then that's sort of like, I mean,
glass? I don't even know. Holes in glass. Like it's going to be so weird.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Actually,
yeah.
Oh, you know what? Actually, I love that idea. I didn't even think about that, because the glory holes that I'm familiar with, like, you just don't see the other person, right? But like a glass with a hole. Okay.
On this podcast, no one has ever said the phrase, the glory holes that I'm familiar with. So thank you for that, Fatima.
No problem.
I appreciate you. I have never seen a glory hole in my life. I mean, I've heard of them here and there. I mean, I asked here, I live in Ottawa, so I asked about glory holes on one of my social media pages, and someone was like giving me like locations of glory holes. And I'm like, I am, you know, Hillary, you and I do this sex podcast for 3 years now. I should know where all the goddamn glory holes are by now.
I just assume they're in bathrooms. I don't know why. Like, I just assume it's bathrooms.
But I just assume it's bad, like, workmanship when there's a hole in the bathroom. I don't even think it's a glory hole. I wouldn't even know. You're like, oh, this place is falling apart. Why is there a hole in that wall? That doesn't seem right.
I am happy to enlighten you.
I know. Seriously. No, so we're talking about glory holes and what and all these things and how people are becoming uncomfortable. I'm just wondering, because the first thing I thought of is these sex parties are going to go underground, and people who can't find them in a more traditional sense are going to be like, okay, we're meeting in my basement next Friday at 7. Bring 40 of your closest friends and we're all going to fuck.
Whoa.
That's going to happen.
I feel like it might already be happening.
Because totally.
I feel like there's a portion of the population that's really not concerned about germs right now. And I feel like people have, like, we've seen it in our own social circles where people aren't really respecting the bubbles and the distancing. It wouldn't surprise me if it's still kind of happening in the background.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, that type of thing is definitely still happening. The number of people may not be 40, it could be 10. But I mean, you know, I think as things open up, like, I will say personally, I have not been to a sex party yet. So, oh, except on online, I've not been to a basement party with 40 of my closest friends.
Fatima, is 40 too high? I don't know how many people typically go to sex parties. Is 40 just, that's too many snacks to put out, isn't it? So maybe 10.
I don't know. You know what? Okay, so it's not about the numbers. I think it's about the connection. If you're going to host a private party, like, I mean, I'm not talking going into a sex club, like a business, a venue. If you're going to host a sex party, I don't think it's so much about the numbers. I think it's about the people that you want there, the people that you're already maybe familiar with, maybe a few of their closest friends. Everybody's on the same page. I mean, everybody's like journey into sexuality is obviously different and varied. And like, I think it's a matter of connecting with people that share the same like values as you, maybe some of the same desires. Like, I'm a queer woman. I'm definitely not straight. And I wouldn't necessarily feel super comfortable going to a completely straight type of sex party, even like as a, you know, cis identified woman. I would want to go to something that's a little bit more in tune with my own personal values within the queer community. So I think about like the groups, like it's not a numbers game necessarily. It's about like, who do you really want in your circle? And particularly now, because the circles have to be so limited. So yeah, 40 as a number, I think is far too high if you're looking at it from a pandemic standpoint. But you don't just want to have 10 random people there. Like, if you're going to allow to have 10 people, I'm thinking it's 10 people that you really want to fuck.
This would be so difficult. Like, on a logistics level, I keep thinking, like, how hard is it to figure out who's in your, like, your family bubble, who makes the cut and who doesn't? How do you pick your fuck bubble?
Well, I think, I mean, you know, there's certain people that, like, I connect well with, and if they brought a friend, I'm sure I would get along with their friend because I feel comfortable with their people. I think it's like, I think you just have to question like what you would feel comfortable with. Then on the other end of that, because I'm a non-judgmental private person, some people really like the idea of fucking strangers. I mean, if that's something that somebody feels safe doing during a pandemic, like that's kind of their own decision. I'm not going to make any judgment calls on that, but sometimes people are really into the mystery of it, right? So I'm somebody who would like to have, you know, 10 of people that like I know that I'm going to play well with, but some people might be like, I want 10 strangers, you know, and like that's the interesting thing about sexuality.
God only knows what's going to happen. Well, God only knows what's going to happen when you bring 10 strangers into the mix. But I'm just wondering, you know, when you do plan a sex party and you get, you know, 10, 15, whatever people together, every party has a dud, right? Everybody, every party has that one person that nobody wants to be around. What is a sex party dud act like?
Okay, so I'm thinking back to like a sex club venue, and I'm thinking about like the people that maybe just aren't mixing as well. Like, it's probably somebody who's kind of walking around, checking things out, maybe coming a little too close, not maintaining their personal space, not being aware of the space of other people. Like, it's okay to be new in a situation and to kind of be curious and stand back and watch, but there is a difference between feeling a little uncertain and being creepy, right? Like, if you're coming into a space that you're unfamiliar with and you're invading somebody's personal space and you're not picking up on social cues and body language or even just basic communication and consent, that's what makes a dud. Like, I think a dud, when we put it like that, isn't necessarily like an awkward personality type. I think it's somebody who just like has complete disregard for consent, complete disregard for boundaries, and is just kind of going into a situation with a greedy mindset. And
yes.
And that vibe, like, you can totally pick up on that vibe. It's hard to verbalize because it's something that you just sort of notice. And like, I'll give you an example, actually. So this is like more of like an on-premise sex club example. Like, say I'm playing with somebody or a bunch of people and we're kind of in our own, you know, we've got our own vibe going, you know, the energy's flowing and stuff. And then somebody kind of just comes and just like sits down and just like comes really closely and just sits there, like right beside me, you know? And it's like, okay, if you want to watch, you can stand, you know, 5 feet away or whatever. Like the goal is never to make other people feel uncomfortable. And I think like duds are not necessarily people that are standing off awkwardly. Maybe they're the people that are like kind of ruining the vibe with their creepiness. That would be my opinion.
Read the goddamn room. That's the problem.
No, I mean, it's true though. Yes, read the room. And also like, and also kind of like check yourself as far as your like feeling entitled. You know, you're never entitled to someone's body. You're never entitled to an orgasm. You know, like these are things that we want, we hope for, but you're not entitled to those things. And sexuality, like any kind of social interaction, it takes communication, friendliness, eye contact, you got a vibe. It's not like you just walk into a place like, all right, cool, I'm getting laid. You know what I mean? Like if that is your goal, you can definitely, there's services that you can pay for to make that happen. But if you want to actually have a genuine connection with people, you have to chill out and just like, you know, be, manage your expectations and also like monitor like your own sense of entitlement.
I was just thinking, it sounds like marriage. You're like, you're not entitled to an orgasm.
I mean,
is that bad?
It's always like, I mean, like, that's a goal, right? But I mean, I think that people kind of come into these situations and they have expectations.
Of course.
And they put expectations on other people. And I don't think that that's fair. You know, I think like everybody is entitled to pleasure, but you can't just expect somebody to give you what you want without putting the work in first.
Right. And I know that you can't plan the way a sex party goes. You know, years ago, I had a friend who got divorced and she went online dating and it wasn't working for her. And she decided she wanted to go super cash. And then she got into this world of sex parties and stuff like that. And she, to this day, really is the only person I've ever known who has, you know, dipped a toe into that world. She's not really my friend anymore. She's, you know, the masses took her. What can I tell you? But she was an odd duck in that she would tell me that she one time organized her own sex party. She rented a room at a hotel. She got her players together. I don't remember how many, but not many, like 5 to 7. She got her players together, each had their own individual personalities and each had their own drama. And she said that her what she envisioned. And I remember laughing, which I don't think played well with her. But she said,
"Why she's not your friend anymore."
I'm starting to realize why I'm such an insensitive prick. She was tied to the bed because she liked bondage. She was tied to the bed, and she wanted dudes to come in and have sex with her. And none of them did because they coupled off with other people. So she just lay there naked, tied to the bed, and nobody came to fuck her. That is literally how that's how my sex party would go. 100%. I'd be sitting there going,
"Come." You never know.
I know.
Be open to the unexpected, right? And honestly, you know, like that might be somebody's kink, right? To be tied to a bed and not be able to move and just watch other people around you have sex. Like that could actually be a thing for somebody.
Yeah, but Fatima, she was alone and just left there.
She was alone in
a suite. So she was off in her own little bedroom and nobody came to see her. They left her there tied up. And the rest of everybody else had their own party. She said it was not what she had hoped. They didn't do it maliciously. They just, you know, had other things they wanted to get done and forgot about her.
Well, she got a good night's sleep. But that's the thing, though. Like, if what you want is for someone to just, like, give you what you want, you can go pay for it. Like,
exactly.
I feel like at a sex party, it's you find what you find and you take what you can get or what happens and just kind of go with it.
I think you just sort of have to be open to the unexpected, you know? And, I mean, we all have ideas of, like, how we want a night to go, but, you know, that's not always going to be the case, especially with something as human and unpredictable as sexuality, you know? I think that's probably why I personally would choose partners that like I already vibe well with, but that's just my own personal preference. It's just like where I would be comfortable with, especially like at this stage of life that we're in right now, as far as like pandemic and stuff like that. But I mean, I have a very non-judgmental and open-minded view of sexuality. I don't like to yuck someone else's yum, to quote Dr. Jess O'Reilly. I love that phrase. So, I mean, you know, I feel like as long as you feel that you are creating a safe environment for yourself and that like consent has been vocalized among you and your partners and whatever that looks like, that whatever desires that you want to express, I think are healthy. And I don't think that people should be shamed for them. You know, I mean, I think it's kind of cool that this woman put herself in her room and blindfolded and had, you know, it's unfortunate that nobody came into the room to see her. But like, at the same time, like, I think that actually sounds really hot. I mean, it doesn't sound like something I wouldn't do. So, you know, but you know, you can't control whether or not somebody's going to come into that room. But, you know, I like the fact that she kind of owned her sexuality and decided to put herself in this situation and to make herself vulnerable. And hopefully, I mean, I know you're not friends with her anymore, but hopefully she learned something from that experience and maybe felt even a little bit empowered from that. You know,
yeah.
Just because somebody didn't go to fuck her doesn't mean she's not fuckable. Doesn't mean she's not sexy.
Well,
you know?
That's a whole other conversation, and you're absolutely right. But she was, it was a gut punch to her because that in her brain, she had all these fantasies. She was, and this was her big night to kind of to live them as a newly divorced woman. She wanted to explore all of it, and it just didn't pan out. Now, since then, I'm sure she's had 100 orgies, and they've been fantastic. But the first one just didn't go well, is all I'm saying. You know, the future of sex parties is obviously is going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. Your website is planningismypassion.com. So whatever you have planned, Quick and Dirty podcast listeners, that's where, if you're interested in going virtual and see what else is possible, that's the website to go to. Fatima, thank you so much for being a guest today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm so glad you reached out to me, and I wish you both happiness, health, and lots of sexiness. For the month.
Ooh,
yes.
Thank you for teaching me what a unicorn is. This is like, I love learning.
Oh my God, you got to have me back on the show. I've got lots of terms I could share with you.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, then we'll hold on to your number. Thank you so much, Fatima.
Awesome. Okay, have a great day, guys.
You too.
This episode is over, but the conversation doesn't have to be. Follow Hillary and Sandra on social. Instagram at Hillary on air, at SandraKiss1053. Twitter at Hillary Welch, at SandraKiss1053. And on Facebook at Quick and Dirty Podcast. Got a question? Email Hillary and Sandra, thequickandthedirty@gmail.com. Don't forget, you can download the podcast each week to your mobile device to listen offline. Find The Quick and the Dirty on frequencypodcastnetwork.com, iTunes, or wherever you download your podcasts.